A reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, the 13th chapter. Zechariah, the 13th chapter. On that day there shall be a fountain opened for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and uncleanness. And on that day, declares the Lord of hosts, I will cut off the names of the idols from the land, so that they shall be remembered no more. And also I will remove from the land the prophets and the spirit of uncleanness. And if anyone again prophesies, his father and mother who bore him will say to him, You shall not live, for you speak lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and mother who bore him shall pierce him through when he prophesies. On that day every prophet will be ashamed of his vision when he prophesies. He will not put on a hairy cloak in order to deceive, but he will say, I am no prophet. I am a worker of the soil, for a man sold me in my youth. And if one asks him, What are these wounds on your back? He will say, The wounds I received in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who stands next to me, declares the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. I will turn my hand against the little ones. In the whole land, declares the Lord, two-thirds shall be cut off and perish, and one-third shall be left alive. And I will put this third into the fire and refine them as one refines silver and test them as gold is tested. They will call upon my name, and I will answer them. I will say, They are my people. And they will say, The Lord is my God. O Lord, have mercy on us. A reading from the book of the Acts of the Apostles, the 4th chapter. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, O Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hands to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. O Lord, have mercy on us. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 14th chapter. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said to them, You will all fall away, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter said to him, Even though they all fall away, I will not. And Jesus said to him, Truly, I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. But he said emphatically, If I must die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said the same. And when they went out to a place called Gethsemane, he said to his disciples, Sit here while I pray. And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch. And going a little farther, he fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. And he came and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time and said to them, Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. And immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him and lead him away under guard. And when he came, he went up to him at once and said, Rabbi, and he kissed him. And they laid hands on him and seized him. But one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus said to them, Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled. And they all left him and fled. O Lord, have mercy on us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There was a great deal of controversy, and rightfully so, over an article written several years ago, and it gained some headway among certain circles, and it still is even brought up to this day, which posited and said that the death of Jesus was paramount to divine or cosmic child abuse. Now, that is blasphemous on many levels. No, dear people of God, God himself punished Christ, but why did he do this? Well, he did it to save you. He counted your sin against Jesus, and Jesus bore what you deserve. In all the account of the Lord's suffering and passion, you see, this was the hand of God to save you. His hand was working through this whole story. That's the profound yet comforting thing as you ponder your Lord's passion. The reason why the Father sent to die and the Son willingly did this is all for your sake. This gets at the heart of the fall into sin and what must happen for you to be redeemed. God laid your sin and the sin of the whole world onto Jesus. The sinless one was counted or reckoned as a sinner so that you, a sinner, would be counted or reckoned righteous. This happened because sin must be paid for, atonement must be made, or God would be a liar and he would be unjust. So everything was done by God to save you in Christ. Even in that reading from Acts, God's people recall what the Lord did in Jerusalem as the Lord suffered and died. St. Luke recorded, For truly in this city they were gathered together against your holy servants, Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. So even these wicked men of Herod and Pilate were instruments of God in the sense that they were used as means by which Jesus was condemned to die. Now this doesn't mean that God is the author of evil or that he is the author of sin. No, it means he is far from it. Your Lord was at work in using even evil men to accomplish the good. And so it's fascinating to think about, but it's true. God himself punished Christ. Jesus said in John 10, For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. So the Father wills that the Son should die, and the Son willingly lays down his life. God beautifully proclaims this to you in Isaiah 53 when he just point blank shows you how God himself punished Christ. The prophet Isaiah wrote, "Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities." This is your Lord, the shepherd who was struck. The death of Jesus was a sacrifice made to the Father to appease his wrath. This is why God himself punished Christ. For in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, the Apostle Paul writes. So the full brunt of God's anger, which is an all-consuming fire, was poured out on Jesus. That's the cup that he drank, the cup of God's wrath. Because God has that righteous anger against sin, he hates it. He rightly hates it so much that the only punishment that is due, its wages, is death. God also hates it so much there is a real place called hell where there are real people who have been sent there by God. So to behold death then is to behold a consequence of sin. To take sin seriously in your own life is to know the cost is due and that what his judgment is against it. It's to be stripped down bare, to be exposed for the sin which is yours from the time of your conception and what you have done, what you have not done, and all things. It's to be exposed by God through his law and see his wrath against you and rightly know the terror that you should have for transgressing his holy law and against God himself. The fear of God is an important part of this, and it's part of acknowledging who you are before him, because this is deadly serious. You should fear God when you see all that's before you as you meditate upon the suffering of Christ, and yes, especially his death. Darkness, death, sin, crucifixion, they all proclaim to you that this is what your sin deserves and the price it cost. So there is that proclamation to fear God and repent. Yet to behold your Lord's suffering is also to see the day of your redemption. To redeem means to buy back. To have a redeemer is to have one who pays a price for you, and you have the benefits of the cost he pays. On Good Friday, you see this and have this as you look to the future through the lens of the crucifixion. On Good Friday, you see Easter even more joyously because when you know the cost, you appreciate the payment. When you have great debt, the day your debt is paid off is a day of freedom and you announce it to everyone. You've been given a new life that is free to live. And you treat people differently too. You don't hold sin against someone. One of the words for forgiveness in the New Testament is a word for setting loose or freeing. So you take that burden of holding something against or over someone when you forgive them because you know that Christ takes that burden, has taken that payment upon himself, that he has paid that cost, that is rightly due it. It has been paid. So in this way, sin is never excused or brushed aside, but it's placed upon another to pay the punishment and cost. And what is that cost? Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins, the Bible says on more than one occasion. And the punishment that is due sin is death. So yes, God himself punished Christ. And that means he doesn't punish you or hold your sin against you as his baptized people. You behold your Lord's suffering and you behold him in faith. You gaze upon the goodness of the Lord then when you see that your Lord himself punished Christ. You rejoice and find your joy in Jesus, who is the Lamb of God who died in your place and paid what you owe. He, who is the Lamb of God who went uncomplaining forth, bearing your sin. Jesus was forsaken on the cross, but you are not forsaken by him, nor will you ever be as his people. You cling to your Lord who has done it, who's laid down his life, who's raised it up again. And all of this you do so as one who has what the Lord gives you. You have his righteousness as you in faith behold that God himself punished Christ. This is no divine child abuse. No. This is so wonderful. so glorious beyond comprehension. This is your salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.